وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, today we know is the 1st of May, and internationally the 1st of May is regarded to be Workers' Day. Now we as Muslims or in Islam are not compelled to follow that, but we take into account that people will be speaking about this aspect. And also together with that, in our masjid today, after the salat, we have got a nikah. So I'm trying to amalgamate these two aspects, the aspect of workers' rights and also the aspect of nikah. Some might say that in reality, you don't have to amalgamate. It is a given fact that in a marriage today, by and large, husbands are workers. So in a way, we are going to be able to discuss both things together. The first aspect that I would like to start off by saying, brothers, we must keep in mind that human rights, rights of our fellow human beings, is an integral and a very important part of our religion. Yes, we know that ibadat and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, performing prayers, giving zakat, sadaqah, charity, zikr, tilawat, are all undoubtedly part of deen. But just as these are aspects of deen, a very important aspect of deen is how do we relate with fellow human beings. It is a very important part of our deen. Dr. Abdullah Saab Arafi Rahmatullah Alayhi was a very great scholar in Karachi, performed the janazah of our rector of our madrasa, Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Alayhi. And he was a khalifa of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi. You know, he says when he was young, he went to Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi and he told Maulana, Maulana, the state of Ihsan, which is a very heightened spiritual state, a state in which Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was out about Ihsan, he said, أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. You worship Allah as if you are seeing Allah. Otherwise, the next step is at least think that Allah is seeing you. That is Ihsan. So he said, I've got the state of Ihsan. I've got the state of Ihsan in my Salat. So Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi told him that that is not enough. He thought that Maulana will praise him. Allah, you got the state of Ihsan in Salat? He said, no, it's not enough. Now bring the state of Ihsan in your muamalat and your dealings with every fellow human being you come into contact with. When you are dealing with your mother, your father, your wife, your children, Allah is with you. Speak to them, deal with them the way you would think that Allah is watching you, the way you think, and create ihsan in the state of salat. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu's hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَفْزَلَ دَرَجَةَ قَائِمِ اللَّيْلِ وَسَائِمِ النَّهَارِ. And as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day told the Sahaba, oh my Sahaba, should I not tell you something which is even more greater than Salat and Zakat? Now, we all know Salat and Zakat are important aspects of deen. Oh Abu Darda, should I not tell you something that it is even more important than Salat and Zakat? And Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, definitely tell us. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Islahu Dhat Al-Bayyin, that to make sulah and reconcile people, human relationship, bring people together. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that if you do not keep people together, there's disputes and arguments between people, hi al-haliqah, it shaves off, it's a razor. And I don't say it shaves off your hair, it shaves off your deen. When you are fighting with one another, it shaves off your deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us with regard to the rights of our fellow human being. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us with regard to the rights that we owe to Allah Ta'ala. So if we, for example, don't fulfill the rights of another human being, Allah Ta'ala will question us. Two beautiful incidents have been made mention. One is the incident of Abdurrahman al-Thalith. The greatest Muslim ruler in Spain, without doubt, was Abdurrahman al-Thalith. In his quest to build his one day his palace and his home, he took over the land. He took over the land of a widow. And he incorporated that in his palace, right? And when he did so, you know, maybe something like, we don't even use that name. See, in his palace, he incorporated that. The widow came to the Qazi and said, the Khalifa has taken over my land. So the Qazi said, just hold on. One day I will come back to you. So one day he was sitting with the Khalifa, Abdurrahman al-Thalith. And in the course of, you know, he was building and constructing his palace, so he came past, Abdurrahman Thalith was there, and there was a big bag full of sand. And the Khalifa, and the Qazi told the Khalifa, just try and pick that up. And when he tried to pick it up, he said, I can't pick it up, it's heavy. And the judge found a situation and said, you can't pick up this one bag. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, whoever takes one span of land of another person, whoever takes one span of land of another person, Allah will make him wear on his neck the equivalent of the burden of this heaven and earth. How are you going to pay back that woman whose land you have taken? Abdurrahman al-Thalith still had the consciousness, and he went back and he went to go return that land to the bearer. Allah will question us with regard to the land that we take, the money that we take, the rights that we usurp of others, the unkindness that we show to others. Allah will question us about it on the day of Qiyamah. The other incident is of Sultan Malik Shah, one of the great rulers of Persia, Muslim rulers. One day, his foot soldiers, they took over the cow of another widow, and they slaughtered it and they ate it. Of course, for soldiers who are part and parcel of a big ruler and king, very easy to be able to do it, so they did it. But that particular woman, that cow was her sole means of income. So someone told her that the Khalifa is a very fair person, go to him. But he said, I can't get to him. Somehow she came to know that the Khalifa is going to be crossing one bridge in his travel from one place to the other. So she waited at that particular bridge. And when the Khalifa came, she stood at that bridge, not allowing him to cross the bridge. And she said, this is my story. Your soldiers has done such and such a thing to me. And then she said an amazing thing. Either you sort me out on this bridge, otherwise I'll catch you on that bridge. Either you sort me out here, otherwise on Pul Sirat I won't allow you to go, because you have usurped my rights. Brothers, we take it lightly, but wallahi al-azim, this particular right that was for fellow human beings is even more dangerous and even more applicable than the rights of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why our ulama say is this, that the rights of Allah ta'ala are important, most important, more important than anyone else's rights. But Allah is forgiving, brothers. Allah is merciful. If we violate Allah ta'ala's rights, more than likely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us if we are sincere in repentance. Human being is not so forgiving. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, awwal insan kisi ko maaf nahi karta. First, human being doesn't forgive anyone. Agar wo maaf bhi kare to uska jo hai na wo apne dimag mein uska file rakhta hai. He keeps a file of it in his mind that one day he will tell you, you remember you did me wrong and I forgave you. But what type of forgiveness? Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah ta'ala, at-ta'ibu min adh-dhanbi kama la dhanba lah. That one who repents in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala is like one who has never committed a guna and sin. So what type of repentance is and forgiveness is that a person will remind you that I forgave you? So bear this in mind. One of our great scholars, Hazrat Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani, rahimahullah, a very, very great scholar. And Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani wrote a commentary of the hadith book Sahih Muslim, the second most authentic compilation of hadith. And the same Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani, rahimahullah, who hoisted the first flag of Pakistan on Independence Day. On 14th of August, 1947, Hazrat Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani, rahimahullah, hoisted the Pakistan flag at the then capital of West Pakistan in Karachi. So Pakistan is Barkat brothers. The first flag that was hoisted was by a great alim, a Shaykh al-Hadith. And Maulana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah, in his Fathul Mulim commentary of Sahih Muslim, writes something that we should really keep in mind. He says, that person who severs family relationship, that person who causes harm to his neighbors and to people in his community, that person who searches for faults of other people, that person who does not fulfill the rights of others, and he behaves arrogantly to people, Allah will put him in Jahannam, even if his salat and zakat is at a peak. Let me repeat that. That person who severs family relationship, that person who does not fulfill the rights of his neighbors and people who he comes into close contact with, that person who searches for faults of others, who behaves arrogantly with people, Allah will put him in Jahannam, even if his salat and zakat is at a peak. This is human rights, it's no ordinary matter. And in this particular regard, there are many aspects that we can talk about human rights, but I just want to relate one or two important points. One is, brothers, don't look down upon people. We know that Allah Ta'ala has made mention with regard to deeni matters. What is right will remain right till the day of Qiyamah. Allah has given us a deen that no one, no imam, no sheikh, no one can amend the deen of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What is right will always remain right. What is wrong will always remain wrong. No imam or sheikh can make what is wrong right afterwards. However, if a person is doing wrong, it is between him and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. No one gives you the right to look down upon him. Allah, how he will deal with him, only Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows. For you to try to behave arrogantly towards a person who has done wrong has never been the way of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and has never been the way, especially of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The Nabi of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala dealt with people with compassion. Today I find it very surprising that people would find it difficult to make salam to one another. I can't make salam to another person because he has done this wrong, he has done that wrong. My Nabi embraced Abdullah bin Ubay. When the Nabi knew that he was a munafiq and a hypocrite, my Nabi embraced Abu Abdullah bin Ubay. My Nabi made salam to Abu Jahl. My Nabi made salam to each and every enemy of the deen of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When Abdullah bin Ubay was about to die, his son came and said that, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, give me your kurta. The kurta, because Abdullah bin and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a debt, because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle was taken into captivity in the time of Badr. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle Abbas was a very huge person, very great physique, big physique. So no one's kurta could fit him. Abdullah bin Ubay was also a person with similar physique. He gave Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a kurta for his uncle. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remembered that. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him his kurta. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to perform his janazah. And then Umar Dalatano said, O Nabi of Allah, how can you perform the janazah of this munafiq? Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Umar, leave me. I will go and perform his janazah. And Allah Ta'ala says, "Istaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum." If you were to make forgiveness for him 70 times, Allah won't forgive him because of his crimes. And then the Nabi of Allah said, if I were to have known that if I made 71 times istighfar and Allah will forgive him. Allah says, even if you ask for forgiveness 70 times, I won't forgive him. The Nabi of Allah said, if I know that by 71 times making istighfar for him, Allah will forgive him, I would have made 71 times istighfar. This is, don't look down. Sahih Muslim's hadith, when a person says, Allah won't forgive another person, Allah won't forgive another person, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and his mercy comes to the fore and said, who is there who has taken an oath that I won't forgive? When my attribute is towards forgiveness, I take an oath that that person who has challenged my forgiveness by saying I won't forgive that person, I will forgive that person. And the person who made the claim that Allah won't forgive so and so person, that person I will put him in Jahannam. This is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. So we don't look down upon people. They say only time you look down upon people is when you are helping them up. There's only time you look down upon people. Wrong was wrong, yes. This is not right. This is according to the Sharia. But how do we know that person who is doing wrong tomorrow, Allah Ta'ala can give him the chance of repentance? You who are doing right today, Allah Ta'ala can take away hidayat and you can end up doing wrong. Don't judge people. And of course, we can judge what is right and wrong, but don't judge human beings. The other aspect which is of importance is kindness. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's whole aspect of life was characterized by kindness towards people. The Nabi of Allah ta'ala showed kindness and made mention of Abdullah bin Ubay, a woman, an old woman used to strew thorns in the path of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When she became ill, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to go and visit her. And she thought that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming to take revenge now that she is old and she is sick. The Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inquired about her health and said, how are you feeling? For many days you didn't put the thorns. I was wondering what has happened to you. What can she do other than to accept Islam? Kindness is an attitude, my dear respected brothers. And I'm going to say a statement today which I thought long and hard this morning, whether I should make the statement or not. It's a statement that came to me this morning. And after great thought, I said, I'm going to make mention of it. Just remember this. The people who are around us need our kindness more than what Allah needs our ibadat. The people who are around us need our kindness more than what Allah needs our ibadat. Allah Ta'ala, we need to make ibadat, but Allah doesn't need it. We are doing it for our own sake. The people who are around us need our kindness more than what Allah needs our ibadat. Brothers, don't take for granted this aspect of showing kindness to the people who are near you. We're taking it for granted. And people, because of that lack and that vacuum with regard to kindness, are going elsewhere to be able to fill that particular void. And one of the aspects, of course, kindness is always, we can show kindness in attitude. Kindness is an attitude. But the most greatest manifestation of kindness is through the means of this, the tongue. This tongue can make or break people. This tongue can lift up the morale of people or bring people down. Wallahi al-Azim, it is such an important aspect. How do we address people? How do we speak to them? How do we relate to them? How do we say something? Maulana Tariq Jamil is a very famous orator. So he says that one day behind a truck, I saw this beautiful caption, Dil Barai Farokht, Heart for Sale. Heart for Sale, Qeemat. What is the value and the price of that particular heart? Ek meeta bol, a kind statement. You win hearts for the means of a kind statement. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam's incident is very, very well known with this particular regard, you know, in terms of his sickness, in terms of his illness. 70 years, Allah Ta'ala kept him, great amount of ni'mat, wealth, children, everything. Then for 7 years, Allah Ta'ala tested him through the means of sickness. First, all health and children, wealth, everything. So the angel said, Ayyub alayhi salam, no, the devil told the angel that Ayyub alayhi salam is remembering Allah because everything is going his way. Allah Ta'ala then brought sickness upon him for 7 years to such an extent that he was excommunicated, had to live outside the city because his sickness was infectious. And in that way, he still remembered Allah. He used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the time when he was healthy. He only had one wife left. Everything was taken away from him. And one day his wife said, you are the Nabi of Allah. Why don't you make dua to Almighty Allah? Allah, remove your illness. So he said, Ayyub alayhi salam said, for 70 years Allah gave me health. Allah only give me sickness for 7 years. I am shy to ask Allah for cure. I am shy. 70 years Allah gave me health. 7 years sickness, I'm shy. Then when the wife insisted, he made dua which Allah has made mention in the 17 Jews. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ. And remember the time when Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam said, difficulty has come upon me, O Allah, you are merciful. That's all what he said. He didn't say, O Allah, I'm sick. O Allah, everything has left me. O Allah, this is happening. O Allah, difficulty has come upon me. And you are Arhamur Rahimin. The point I would like to make, someone asked, Allah Ta'ala granted him shifa. Then someone asked Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam afterwards, what was the difference between sickness and health? Now Allah has given you health. He said, see, health has its virtue, has its blessings. But he said, I long for sickness for one reason. He said, what? You long for sickness? He said, yes. He said, when I was sick, every day I used to get away from Allah. And Allah used to speak to me directly. Ayyub, how are you feeling? He said that one sentence of consolation from Allah was such that I still long for my sickness. That in my sickness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to tell me, Ayyub, how are you feeling? Brothers, how do we feel the pain of people? It's so easy to sit and to criticize people. Do we take into account people's circumstances and deal with them in accordance with that? They say an enemy is he whose story you haven't heard. An enemy is he whose story you haven't heard. Sometimes try to understand another person. Why is he going through? What is doing what he's doing? And then try to relate to that. Feel the pain of another person. You know, they say this one day, the teacher was teaching children maths. Took two apples, put one apple. And tried to say 2 + 1 = 3. Two apples and one apple. How many apples you got? And the child was saying 4 apples. Another teacher was trying to explain. Never got it right. And then the child said, teacher, it's not 3. I got 1 apple in my bag. You see, now you haven't understood the child. You won't be able to understand the answer. Try to understand people. Try to understand the pain of people with regard to it. And then an important part with regard to it, how do you deal with people who are under your authority? How do you deal with people who are under your authority? Coming back to workers' rights, my dear. Allah has put the workers, laborers, employees under our control. To a certain degree, we have authority over them. The test of a person's character is not how he deals with people who are his equals or his superior. No one is going to be arrogant towards his boss. That's a reality. Because he fears with regard to his job. So the test of a person's character is not how you treat your equals, your friends in the masjid. The test of a person's character, how do you deal with people who are under your authority? Your workers. Nabi Karim ﷺ had said that people who are your workers, they are your brothers whom Allah has placed under your control. Remember, Allah will question you with regard to them. Nabi Karim ﷺ said, 3 types of people I will fight against on the day of judgment. I will be the lawyer. I will be the advocate on behalf of 3 oppressed people. Against certain people, one of them will be a person who employed a laborer, took full work from him and didn't give him his wages. The Nabi of Allah will fight against such a person. And also this particular aspect, I was reading Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali during this week, he made mention of an ayat, and I will just conclude with this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention with regard to the rights of our parents. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ إِنَّكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. If one or both of your parents reach old age, don't say oof to them in disrespect. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was saying, and he said, why does Allah Ta'ala say, don't say oof to your aged parents? Why not? Obviously, to say oof to your young parents is also not permissible. Then too, you are supposed to show respect. Why did Allah Ta'ala say, don't say oof to your parents who are old? And then Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gives the answer. He said, obviously, when a parent is 30, 40 years, 45, 50 years, he still has power, authority, then dare the child say something in disrespect to the parent. The parents will take him to task. But when a parent has become old, now he is helpless, he is dependent upon you, he sometimes become a burden from the physical or material point of view, then when he is wholly and solely under your control and authority, then too do not say oof to them in disrespect. Brothers, that's the time to be able to see that my parents must not be abused. When they are old and they are dependent upon you, they do not have source of income, then do not say oof to them in disrespect. Also, part of that under authority. Then of course, the last particular portion that I would like to make mention, maybe on this, well, today is a public holiday, so maybe a few minutes late won't make a difference. I always say with regard to our parents, look after your mothers, my dear respected brothers. The mother's sacrifice for the child is legendary. We say mamta. Mamta is very, very important, the mother's love. I always make Imam Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali said that one day a father and mother were arguing about one another who makes more sacrifice for the sake of the child. And the mother closed this argument with these beautiful words and said, don't you dare compare your sacrifice for my sacrifice. I bore the burden of my child when it was heavy. You bore the burden of the child when it was light. You bore it for a very short period of time. I bore the burden of my child for 9 months. You as a man dropped the seed of your child in a fit of pleasure. I dropped the seed of my child in pain that was nearing death. The doctors say that there are 47 units of pain a human being can endure. During childbirth, the mother endures 57 units of pain. Look after your mothers, my dear respected brothers. And then, of course, the last thing that I was in a quandary, now those who are under your authority, well, is today the wife under authority or is the husband under authority? One doesn't know. But traditionally, the woman are supposed to be under authority of the men. And therefore, they said today, we don't know what it is. They say, I had few sentences with my wife, she had few paragraphs with me. I had few sentences and she had few paragraphs. But there's also another aspect. الرجال قوامون على النساء. Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, the men are in authority over the woman. Since they are under your authority, it is your responsibility to treat them well. وَأَشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Be kind towards your woman folk. Be kind towards your wife. If there is one thing that you dislike, look at a positive aspect. The Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such a great human being. More greater than any other human being that can ever lay claim to greatness. There was no one like him. In every way, he was the beloved of Almighty Allah. Allah ta'ala had forgiven all his sins if ever he had to commit, although he did not commit. And despite that, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated his wives so kindly. He made Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha stand over his shoulder to look at the display of the warriors. And he remained like that until she did not get tired. He did not say, I'm the Nabi of Allah. Why must I do that to my wife? She must be independent. He stood there. She stood over his shoulder and she looked at the display. When Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's camel broke down, she started crying. The Nabi of Allah took his hands and wiped away her tears. Look after those people who are under your authority. So in conclusion, we will say, we started off the talk by speaking that human rights, rights of human beings are extremely important. It is just as important as ibadat. We gave examples with regard to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us with regard to the rights of human beings. Then we spoke about the aspect of how do we deal with the rights of human beings. Don't look down upon people. Have kindness. Feel the pain of other people. And those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way has kept under your authority. Be very, very careful of dealing with them appropriately. May Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just one small announcement. I just want your attention. The Jamiatul Ulama, together with other Muslim groups, have started off an initiative. It's a very important initiative for Muslims in South Africa. We have started off a think tank with the intention of making a positive contribution to policy decision in South Africa. Bear in mind, and I'm saying this with the utmost of sincerity, if we do not play our role in South Africa and be active participants of what is happening in the country, then we face a very bleak future if we don't play our role. We cannot remain in isolation. If you remain in isolation, you can't contribute to what is happening in the country. You can't change policy. And if you remain in isolation, the tide of events will still come to you, with or without your doing. If you don't become involved, you are going to become irrelevant. And if you don't become involved, the tide of events are going to catch up with you, no matter how much in isolation you remain. We saw what happened in the xenophobic attacks. This is an attempt for Muslims to play their rightful role in the country. And the think tank, and in 2 weeks' time, there is a conference, there is a dinner in which the deputy president of the country, Cyril Ramaphosa, will be addressing. Then there would be a one-day conference. The details of it is in the masjid board, so you can ask from me, where the 7 chapters of the National Development Plan will be debated by Muslim professionals and Muslims who have an active role or voice or opinion on any of those aspects. There would be 7 chapters would be debated, and it is entitled The Muslim Civil Society's Response to the National Development Plan. It is scheduled for the 15th and 16th of May. There are limited seats, but I am appealing to people who have opinion, who feel they want to play a role, especially young professionals, take this word around and participate, go and register in that. Play your rightful role, because wallah, Allah Ta'ala has given us many great favors in this country. It will be very unfortunate due to our lack of effort and due to our staying away from things, we lose the benefits Allah has granted us in this country. So brothers, please take note of that. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.